Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Pastor Dave. That's Pastor Jeff. We're from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
And this is May 2017. We meet at 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 5 p.m.
That's right.
If you listen to this at a later date, you'll have to check our website, rebo.church. Rebo.church.
Rebo.church, right.
And you can also come to truthrevolution.tv. That is our radio show's website, truthrevolution.tv. Because we want a truth revolution.
We do.
Today, we're talking about a great topic. Normally, we do science, logic. Today, we're going to talk about something pretty important. Don't you think, Dave?
Sure. It's not going to be something stupid like you always do, is it?
Do I do stupid things?
Sometimes, maybe.
Well, let's see. Let's see if I'm stupid. Because we are talking about stupid people today. It's possible that I'm stupid. And we're going to check it out and see. I actually, I had snakes when I was growing up as pets.
There's your problem right there.
You think that's stupid?
Well, not really stupid. It's just kind of creepy. I wouldn't own snakes.
The first snake I owned and the one that we had for the longest amount of time, we got him when I was in like fourth grade and he lived until I had been a pastor for like a decade.
Really?
Yeah. So all the way through college and graduate school and everything. But his name was Slide.
Slide?
Yeah, Slide the snake. Mm-hmm. And he'd bite me a lot.
He says matter-of-factly, he'd bite me a lot.
Well,
It's not like you're playing with a kitten there, dude.
I can't remember all of them, but I know for sure I've been bitten four times by snakes, by three different snakes. Okay. Twice by Slide, who's a rat snake, once by a king snake, and once by a water snake. Mm-hmm. So I've been bitten by snakes four times. You would think I would have learned something.
You would think.
And eventually stopped getting bitten by snakes.
Mm-hmm. Like maybe get a dog or something?
My family wants me to get a dog, but they're so messy.
Right.
Anyway, okay, so what we're going to do today is look at what it means to be stupid. And we're going to look at Proverbs 12:1.
Right.
It says this.
Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid.
Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Mm-hmm. We memorize that verse here. If you're in leadership or Revolution Church, you have to memorize that verse. It would have been good for me to know that before I got bitten four times by snakes. I could have taken one bite as a correction. Okay, don't mess with snakes.
Yeah, if not, you could have taken maybe two bites as correction.
Yeah, maybe the second bite, like discipline. Like, okay, you know what? I've learned my lesson. Whoever loves this discipline, I've enjoyed getting bitten by you. I've now gained knowledge. I no longer need to be bitten.
Right.
Right. That's the basic concept. Right. The concept is this. There's a connection between knowledge and discipline. Think of this in terms of me with my stupid snakes. Then let's apply it to ourselves. Okay. And we're going to use this cool phrase, corrections cure me and discipline develops me.
Okay.
Dave, can you say that for us?
Corrections cure me and discipline develops me.
Corrections cure me and discipline develops me. Yes, I should have learned, right? I should have been corrected when the snakes bit me and learned how to handle them. Of course, you would say like, oh, I wouldn't be that dumb. I would have learned my lesson. But what if someone says to you, you ain't raising your kids right?
Oh, wow.
Ouch. Or, man, that outfit looks dumb.
I hear that a lot.
Or your idea's not good enough. Or your skills aren't advanced enough. Right. What about your spouse who's asked you again and again to change and you haven't? Or your boss who wants you to do better? Or a friend who confronted you about something? Or a church friend that said something about your life being sin? What about when someone tells you that thing you did wasn't good enough? Do you take offense at those things?
That's the question right there.
Many of you have faced things like that your entire life. From your parents to your workers, your boss, your spouse, people have beaten you down, yelled at you, insulted you. So we develop natural defense mechanisms. Mm-hmm. Know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Right? We get a heart that doesn't want to hear it. Mm-mm. So we jab back in anger.
Right.
That's a defense mechanism. Maybe some things that people tell us, though, are good for us, even if it's hard to hear.
Right. You know, that saying, the truth hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, there's reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, truth hurts. Maybe if it hurts, like that snake biting you, cause you to change.
Yeah. Unless we build up these defense mechanisms. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times our defense mechanisms cause us more problems than they're fixing. Like, it stinks to be bitten by the snake, but maybe instead of killing the snake, I should say, maybe I can change.
Right.
Maybe the snake has a point. Leave him in his cage.
Right? Or leave him outside.
Correct. Corrections cure me. Discipline develops me. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the second part of this verse. What happens when we don't accept correction?
He who hates correction is stupid.
What does it mean to hate correction? Because we don't want to be stupid. What does it mean? Right. Well, the Hebrew word for hate there is literally to hate. Like, it's your enemy. It's odious to you. Okay, and so we're just, it's some, you're despising what was said because of how you feel.
Right.
Any type of negative reaction, regardless of the truth of the statement. Okay, that's what it means to hate it. So hating is, or hating correction is when you have a negative reaction to a potentially helpful critique.
Right. You know, all these people running around, haters gonna hate. It just kind of actually shed a little bit of light on that one, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe somebody's telling you maybe you got to change. Haters gonna hate.
Haters gonna hate. Right. Right. Like, a lot of people will come and they will talk about getting a better job. Mm-hmm. Someone might offer them some advice. Well, maybe when you go to your job, you know, you could wear, and they maybe give them some advice on what to wear. And they're like, you know what? And they say things like, they can't accept me at my worst. They don't deserve me at my best.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Hating correction is having a negative reaction to a potentially helpful critique.
Mm-hmm.
This person's giving you a critique that's potentially helpful.
Right.
And when you don't like that, when you have a negative reaction to that, you are being stupid. That's right. What the Bible says, right? You're hating that correction. You don't like it. It doesn't feel good. And when you have that negative reaction to something that's potentially helpful, that's being stupid. That is the biblical, right. That is God's definition of stupidity. Having the negative reaction to a potentially helpful critique. That's why the Bible says, he who hates correction is stupid. Mm-hmm. You cannot engage your brain and make good choices if you're busy being upset at what people tell you.
Amen.
So if you hate correction, you are, well, I'm not going to say the stupid word again.
Okay.
I just said it.
Dumb.
Someone who's aloof. You're someone who's unfocused. Someone who doesn't get it. Someone right. Who doesn't understand when they don't get it.
Right.
You know anyone thick-headed? It's hard, hard to get to them.
Yeah. I mean, the world is full of them.
The word stupid in Hebrew, because that's what the Bible's written in here, this mm-hmm. part, literally means beast.
Wow.
And many people translate this dumb, stupid brute of an animal. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So if someone comes to you and he offers you correction and it's hard to hear and you don't accept it, you are a dumb, stupid brute of an animal is one way to translate that part of the right. Bible. You're a stubborn donkey. If you don't care if the road is that way and you aren't going until someone cracks you with a whip,
mm-hmm.
you are a stubborn donkey. Corrections cure me. Discipline develops me. Yep. But that person that doesn't get it, look, I mean, okay, if you love discipline, you'll love knowledge.
Right.
But if you don't love knowledge, you won't appreciate discipline. It's not worth it to you. Discipline for you just seems a pain in the butt.
Right.
They're whipping me. It hurts. Mm-hmm. They're telling me something's wrong in my clothes, or they're telling me I didn't do something right. Then it's painful and I don't like it. Well, maybe there's good to it and you need to learn to love it. Learn to love it, because corrections actually cure me. And discipline actually develops me. Let's think for a minute, because this could be earth shattering. What could happen to your family if you refuse correction?
Well, I mean, you'd be like a bad spouse.
Yes, you could be a bad spouse, or you could end up with a bad spouse.
True.
You could be going after someone, and wise people in your life are saying, that's not the right person to marry, and you don't want to hear it. And so you don't accept that.
Yeah, you see that happen all the time.
Mm-hmm. And that's stupid. Yep. You could be a bad parent.
Absolutely.
You could lose your job.
Uh-huh.
You could lose your house.
Right.
Potentially huge spiritual problems. You could end up going to hell because you refuse to acknowledge the sin in your life and you refuse to accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers you, because you have to actually acknowledge that you're a sinner and come to Jesus.
Amen.
The only way to get to heaven is to come to Jesus, accept his forgiveness. You can't get there any other way.
Right.
And once you do that, you will participate in a church because you want people offering you that correction to help you on your way closer to God. You need those people in your life who will purposely give you correction, who will purposely lead you towards God, not just people who will randomly say the word God and then you think that's somehow spiritually developing you.
Right. And then you live the way the rest of the world does and
right.
have no consequences, at
we
least that you know.
We have met people who think mm-hmm. that smoking pot and coming up with weird ideas about God is the same as going to church.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not. Is not a group of people who come around you, who get to know you deeply, who say, here's what's going on in your life. You tell me what you want to change, then we'll hold you accountable to get closer to God in that area. That's...
Let me rephrase that, because I'm saying not what you said was true, but what you said about us knowing people that said that. That is true.
Yes.
I just want to make sure people didn't misunderstand me.
Oh, right, right. We know people who think that's spiritual right. growth, but mm-hmm. that doing drugs or just even having random conversations with people is not actual spiritual growth. It takes accountability. It takes people speaking into your life in a way that Proverbs 12:1 matters. Mm-hmm. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but to get discipline that produces knowledge requires a community that speaks that discipline into your life. Right. This is potentially huge. I mean, this stuff can be offensive. What is God calling you to change or to do differently? These are heaven and hell consequences. Right. But the most basic is this. Jesus is asking you, will you accept his forgiveness, yes or no? No answer is an answer.
Mm-hmm. Right, but it's like, I like the way my life is. I don't want the pain of changing it.
And whoever hates correction is stupid.
Right.
Exactly. This is why we can't just ignore this stuff. I want you to picture Play-Doh. Right? I got some Play-Doh here. Mm-hmm. I'm squishing it with my hands. Our hearts and our minds and our will should be kind of like Play-Doh.
Right.
Someone gives advice. We listen to it. If it's good advice, we change. We mold. We get shaped. Like sometimes people talk about, oh, man. This person just changes with the wind, and we don't want to be like that.
Right.
We don't want to like just a breeze blows and be like, okay, I'll believe something totally different. Ah. No, right. But
need to be anchored.
We want to be anchored, but we want to be pliable. We also don't want to be the type of people who is like the Play-Doh who's been sitting out.
Right. Dry and crusty.
Dry and crusty, mm-hmm. where someone tries to change it and it just breaks off a mm-hmm. piece. So you don't want to be blown around by the wind, but you don't want to be hard and unmoldable. You want to be Play-Doh.
Amen.
You want to be moldable and shapeable by the people around you who give you good advice, especially those people who know God better than you do. And you got to have those people in your life.
Absolutely.
Got to have them in your life so that when they give you advice, they mold you and they shape you in the image of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. We can actually love discipline. This is crazy. What comes to mind when you think of discipline?
Sometimes like we're punished for bad behavior.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes stern warnings. If you better not. Or like chastising me for the choices I make.
Yep. Consequences.
Consequences. Something mm-hmm. that hurts at the time, but maybe yields good results later.
Right.
I can love that stuff? Yes, you can.
Right.
You can learn to love even punishment for bad behavior. Not that church gives those, but you can learn to love it when someone chastises you.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. It's not going to be the same thing as falling in love or riding a roller coaster, right? Like, whee, that was great.
Right.
You can learn to love it the way you love medicine.
Right. That which makes you better.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Even though this medicine is not going to taste good, I don't want to take a pill. Mm-hmm. I love it. Because, okay. I have asthma.
Right.
Right. I do not particularly like carrying an inhaler with me wherever I go. But to be honest, I love this little thing.
Lifesaver, huh?
It's a lifesaver, mm-hmm. man. When I can't breathe, I just puff this and all of a sudden I can breathe again.
Right.
Right. So this is what it's like to be disciplined and corrected. It's not that I love every aspect of it, but I love what it can do for
me.
I
love the result.
That's right. Okay, we're going to be right back. We're going to ask some really difficult questions about how to love discipline. We're going to ask some hard questions here.
Okay.
We're also going to do Bible contradiction. Got to come out to Revolution Church again
right.
in May 2017. What are our service times?
We're on Sunday at 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 5 p.m.
That's right. That's May and June 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get to our website, which is
truthrevolution.tv or revo.church.
Yep. And you have all sorts of things on there, like past shows. Mm-hmm. You can go there. People ask questions all the time. One thing you can do is you just go to the website and just type a thing in the search box. I actually right. do this all the time.
Yeah.
People ask me a question. You guys ever done a radio show on the age of the earth?
I don't know. Let me check.
I just type it in. Age of earth right. or earth and search box. And like all these shows come up, we've done. Some of them are 60 seconds. Some of them are 30 minutes. Some of them are almost an hour. Right. You can find lots of information at truthrevolution.tv.
Get there.
We'll be right back on the other side of the break.
Why should you go to church?
You know, Jesus said we should be the church.
But before then, the word church was used for business meetings. If you were there, you're part of the church because you were doing the work.
Jesus didn't say, hey everyone, show up for an hour and hang out.
Not at all. He said, be my church.
Meaning, if you follow me, you should get together with other people who follow me and work together. So church is us coming together to do God's work together.
www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
We don't have to go to church every week.
Well, there's no rule in the Bible.
But that could be deceiving. 1 Corinthians 16 indicates that weekly attendance was normal and expected.
Right. In the same way the Bible never tells us to breathe, it kind of takes that for granted.
Yes, the Bible takes for granted that you'll gather regularly. Verses like Hebrews 10:25 and many others show that.
And consider this one thing. Satan does not want you in church.
He actively works against you like a lion stalking his prey. 1 Peter 5. He is trying to find any way to keep you from church.
So whether it's because you could do something great for someone else at church that week, or because the sermon was meant for you, or a song would hit you, or you're just trying to build faithfulness,
you can bet the weeks you missed church are the weeks that would have been the most significant to your soul.
Church, every single week. The devil doesn't want you to do it.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit TruthRevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
You know, Revolution Church isn't the only great church in town. There's lots of them. For instance, we love Crossroads Church.
Hey, if you don't like religion or traditional church, but you know there's got to be more to life than what you've got going on right now, check us out at Crossroads Church. We're a church with a difference.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, we've got rock music, informal comfort, a bunch of broken people who are actually happy, and kicking words of life that'll set you free.
And when do you meet?
Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock.
And where can they find you?
Facebook us at Crossroads Church Salina.
Why should you go to church? Part 2.
You probably have a lot of people in your life who you care about and they care about you.
But imagine that relationship being God-focused. Not just talking theoretically about them once in a while, but seriously.
Both of you loving God more, asking each other, hey, what did you learn last week? And challenging each other because you know that you can both be what God wants you to be.
That's part of what churches do.
Come on out to Revolution Church.
www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
Truth Revolution.
He who loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is estupido.
El stupido?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've been talking about today. Will you accept correction or won't you? And what are the consequences of those things?
You know, all those people that don't like correction, they've already shut off the radio show.
They've already shut it off. They're already done.
Stupid Truth Revolution, guys.
This is enough. I was actually thinking that earlier. I was like, I wonder how many people are still hanging with this, because we've just called them stupid like 30 times. So if you're still listening to this, bravo. You are probably not stupid.
There's one guy sitting out there. Yeah, give me one. Give me one, right?
It's probably a woman, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
Just kidding, guys. All right. Dave and I are still here, so we're good.
Right.
All right. Look, I want to talk about the Plato thing, right? We want to be able to be moldable, both practically and spiritually. We should be people whose hearts are open to discipline and correction.
Right.
You, of course, have to check your source, because there's going to be people who are bitter and angry in your life who
always
throw crud at you no matter what. And what one person says to you is not equal to what another person says to you.
Right. Misery loves company, basically. If somebody that you know is totally miserable all the time, might want to check what they're saying. Now, that doesn't mean that they're always wrong.
True.
But, you know, you should always check and kind of digest it and see if maybe that has some real feel to it.
Right. We want to apply a test that, I don't know what you would call it, a legitimacy test. Mm-hmm. If someone is known to be a complainer, a downer, an angry person, and they give you a critique, you know what? Think about it for a second. If you agree, great change. Right. If you don't worry about it.
Wait for somebody else to say it.
Just move on. Right. But if someone you know is actually a wise person and they're not known just to walk around and critique everybody for no reason, and then they critique you, that's a pretty legitimate test. Right. You should probably do some thinking about what they just said and not just overreact. And the funny thing is, we often tend to overreact and reject the person who's wise when they tell us a critique. We get upset about it more so than when the jerk tells us something bad.
Right.
You know why that is?
Well, I don't know. I think maybe it's because basically refuting the jerk is going to bring more problems on you, and maybe you don't want to have a discussion like that.
That might be one reason.
Yeah.
I also think I know some jerks, mm-hmm. and when they say something mean to me, I'm like, they're just a jerk. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even bother me, right? They're just, that's just the type of person. But when someone who's really wise says something to me that's critical, it actually hurts me. Like it offends me or makes me feel bad. And so I'm like, it goes down deeper. And so if we're not careful, we're actually more likely to reject the wise person's advice because it hurts more. Yeah. It stings.
Yeah. We're more apt to get rid of things that cause us pain anyway.
Yeah.
But we need to look deeper into that. I mean, if it's true correction, like I said earlier, sometimes the truth hurts. And if the truth hurts, you need to take a little bit deeper of a look on it.
That's right. So we're going to jot down a couple ideas here. Causes of refusing correction. Proverbs 12:15. It says, "The way of the fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice."
Uh-huh.
So one cause of refusing correction is assuming that you're correct.
Right.
You could call this pride. Just assuming that you're correct is a cause of refusing correction. That's a cause of stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't assume you're correct. Proverbs 13:1 says this.
A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke.
Does not listen. Another cause of refusing correction? Not listening.
Right.
And that doesn't mean you don't hear. It just means you don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of kids. There's a difference between them hearing what I say and listening Absolutely. To what I say. Proverbs 15:12.
A mocker resents correction. He will not consult the wise.
Here's another cause of being stupid. You don't consult with those wiser than you. And this is
what do you think, right?
Exactly. Yeah. This is where being part of a small group at our church comes into play. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear sermons. You're going to hear truth and things that will affect you in your life when you come to Revolution Church. But if you don't consult with people in your small group, people who are wiser than you, you're not going to know how to apply those all the time.
Absolutely.
And you're going to have trouble with that. We could go on and on and on, but just so you know, you have to change behaviors. All right, we're going to do a Bible contradiction, and then we're going to get right back to this.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction brought to you by evilbible.com.
Ooh.
Was Christ's mission one of peace? Or was it not? Luke 2, 13 and 14. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Okay, so
Christ's mission was one of peace.
Yeah.
Okay. Matthew 10:34 says, "However, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." That's what Jesus said.
So his mission was not peace.
Right.
Well, our cracked acronym, which is the most reasonable way to interpret the scripture ever invented to mankind, the D is dialect.
Uh-huh.
Now, dialect means you have to understand what type of words you're using. For instance, when I just said that, I was using exaggeration.
A little bit, you think?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. It is helpful, but it's just funny the way you said it.
Yeah. And so I was using exaggeration to make a point.
Absolutely.
But what type of language is being used here? We have to ask, what does the word peace mean? When the angels came in Luke 2, when they said peace on earth, did they intend to communicate peace on earth and never again will any human do violence to another human? No.
Sounds good.
That's not what they meant by the word peace. Just a few verses later, so the context, Simeon prophesies over the young Jesus and says, I have peace now. They're talking about internal peace.
Yeah.
They're talking about peace between God and man for those who accept him. That's the type of peace they're talking about. The angel nowhere intended for his words to mean peace from evil people.
Right.
In Matthew 10, when Jesus says he's going to bring a sword, all you have to do is look at the context to understand what he means. He's not bringing violence or asking his followers to do violence. No, just read the next paragraph. Again, this is the context. Matthew chapter 10, verses 35 to 37.
I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me.
Right. It's about choosing God over other humans. Jesus isn't saying, I want you to use swords. He's saying, I want you to choose me. And the result of choosing me will be that people use swords against you. That's what he means.
Right.
That's what he means by families are going to divide against each other. When he says, I come to bring a sword, he's saying, I'm coming and I know what's going to happen because I come. I know what I'm asking you to do. It's not a contradiction at all. Jesus did bring peace between us and God. And he did bring a sword to those of us who believe in Jesus, because sometimes people will reject us or even kill us.
Right.
That's the answer for our not a Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
It's being called the not a Bible contradiction now. That's awesome.
We should change the name of it. That's good. Stonewall Jackson, you ever heard of him?
Wasn't that Confederate general?
It was the Confederate general. Mm-hmm. His nickname was Stonewall. He got it during the war. After General Bernard B's brigade had been routed, he shouted to his men, "Yonder stands Jackson like a stone wall." He's right. Trying to get his troops, you know, rallied up. Mm-hmm. And the name stuck, Stonewall Jackson.
Right.
Did you know that before the war, though, his nicknames were Tom Fool?
No, I didn't know that.
Square Box, because of his pig old feet, and Old Hickory.
Yeah.
Right? He was a hypochondriac. He thought he had distortion of the spine, neuralgia, nervousness, cold feet. He used to ride his horse with one arm in the air because he thought it would help his circulation.
Really? Wow, that's kind of silly.
In other words, war brought out the strongest elements in him.
Right.
War made him a better man. He was a hero in war, mm-hmm. and a weirdo hypochondriac loser without war.
Right.
This is how we want to respond to harsh words towards mm-hmm. us. To correction towards us. We want to become better people when things get crazy.
Right.
Not worse.
You may ride on your horse with one hand in the air, but you'll be a stone wall.
That's right.
Right?
It's exactly right.
Yeah.
So when people say, you know what? You totally screwed that up. All right. You know what? Thanks for telling me that. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, wow, you just accepted correction. And now you will become Stonewall Jackson. We want to listen more. We want to accept correction from people. We want to love the correction. Corrections cure me. Discipline develops me.
Amen.
Proverbs 15:12 says, a mocker resents correction. He will not consult the wise. So find wise people. Consult with them. Ephesians 5:21 says,
submit to one another out of a reverence for Christ. Sorry, my tongue got right around my teeth.
So develop a willingness to submit to people.
Amen.
A guy named Bridges, he says, the submission of the will is the only road to Christian attainment.
Wow.
Learning to submit your will mm-hmm. to God
absolutely.
And to other people develops you. Corrections cure me. Discipline develops me. Proverbs 11:2 says this.
When pride comes, then comes disgrace. Both humility comes wisdom.
Have plenty of humility. Be willing to lower yourself and listen to others. Right. Proverbs 15:31 says the similar thing.
He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise.
You want to be at home among the wise? You want to walk into a room full of wise people
right.
and everyone's like, man, this is your home, bro. Then seriously, you need to listen more.
Amen.
He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. But that's... All right, but here's the one that is probably the most important. The best way to look at discipline is to look at the consequences of it. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. So consider the result of being corrected, which is knowledge, and the result of ignoring it, which is stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
Corrections cure me and discipline develops me. Discipline can do great, great things.
So do you still own a snake, Jeff?
I do not own a snake at present time, no.
He got wise.
I'm not saying I won't.
Oh.
Anyway, thanks for listening to Truth Revolution. Thank you for all of those of you who share this on social media. If you're willing to call people stupid, you can share this one.
Right, yeah.
Thank you for all of those of you who give to the show. We are facing a financial... tightness right now?
Yeah, a little bit.
So if you want to help us out, that would be greatly appreciated. You can donate to Truth Revolution at Revolution Church. You just give straight to Revolution Church. Make sure everybody knows it's for Truth Revolution. We'd love to have you out to Revolution Church as well. Come on out and join us no matter what you look like.